grab your lunch, turn up the volume, and get ready for 3 hours of sports conversation surrounding the hottest sports topics and pop culture events of the day. It's the new Sports 180. To be a part of today's show and share your thoughts, call in to 656-9900, 656-9900, or via Twitter using @Sports180. Now, with Heather Harrington, here is Josh Ward.
It's a Friday edition of Sports 180. Happy Friday to everybody, especially all you people that are enjoying a nice long weekend that started today. We are super jealous, but we're here to keep you entertained while you're getting that boat shined up and ready to launch out on the lake or getting your fireworks set up for the first round tonight. Vince Ferrara, hello from Florida.
Hello, Heather Harrington. How are you?
I am doing great. I am looking out at beautiful sunshine, blue sky, so it is gorgeous here in East Tennessee. How is everything going in Tampa?
We actually had a rare morning shower. It hadn't rained very much here other than the quick pop-up typical summer showers, but it's been cloudy but still plenty warm out there today, and I think we're going to get a rainy weekend overall, but a lot of people take it because it does, at least in the short term, drop the temps, but you know, no complaints. I'll take warmer. You and I are from southern states, so yeah. We'll take a little bit of the warmth over the extreme cold.
We are used to that heat, although I'll tell you, I've lived in Tennessee now as long as I lived in Texas. I'm kind of getting weak to the ultra heat there, Vince. I think I have embraced the snow, I have embraced the cold, and I am shunning the humidity. Because that's the worst part. I can take heat. It's that humidity that's just stifling, like when you walk out the door and start sweating immediately, and you're like, why did I just blow dry my hair?
Yeah. And in the morning, too, like you walk out and it's a sauna.
Yeah.
At least in East Tennessee, typically, like I think today's low was like 66 in Knoxville, something like that.
Yeah, it was nice this morning.
At least you get a little bit of a break, unless you're on the ocean, which, of course, is a great option. Then you get a little bit of relief with the breeze off the water. But otherwise, inland, no. You're walking right into a sauna.
We're going to give everybody a lot of information, get them ready for a fun 4th of July weekend. We want everybody to be safe. We want you to have all of your fingers intact on Monday. Be safe with those fireworks. I joke around a little bit, but seriously, you gotta be careful and watch the kids around those fireworks as well. But we're going to have a great show for you today, so let's hit it. Let's take a look around the sports world.
Biggest news, the main stories, the headlines that have everyone talking. It's time to take a look around the sports world.
All right, movement on the leaderboard. Vince Ferrara will head to Detroit for the Rocket Mortgage Classic going on right now. Seamus Power, he is up to tied for first right now, 11 under. He is done for the day. He was 6 under today in the clubhouse, so round one shot a 67. Today shot a 66. He's tied currently with Matthew Wolf, who is 11 under as well. He is 8 under today through 17. So he is on his final hole. We'll see what his score posts here in just a few moments. You've got Kevin Kisner that is tied for third, along with Bryson DeChambeau and Mark Hubbard and Sepp Straka. Scrolling down a little bit, you've got Steve Stricker that's in the top 15. Knoxville's own Scott Stallings, he is tied for 15. He had a great day yesterday, firing off a 65. He tees off in a little over an hour. So Scott Stallings will be back on the course today at 1:10 teeing off. But a lot of exciting stuff going on at the Rocket Mortgage Classic.
So, Heather, let me ask you, you're big into golf, PGA Tour, even successful on predictions oftentimes. How much, with not as much competition for golf, how much are you into these PGA tournaments that we're seeing right now coming out of the pandemic?
Well, it's kind of a two-side-of-the-coin conversation, because Thursdays and Fridays, I am all in on it. Saturdays and Sundays, though, with how the weather has been here in East Tennessee, there was the RBC Heritage. That one was easy to catch because they were rain delayed, so it actually ended Sunday evening when we were back at home, so I was able to catch all that action. But the last couple weeks, man, with it being nice weather, it's hard to catch those weekend rounds.
Lake greater than than third and fourth round of the PGA Tour, no doubt.
Yeah, I've definitely fast-forwarded, though, through some coverage. You know, it's not like appointment television, but it's, okay, let me see what happened and kind of scroll through pretty quickly. So that's been my sort of viewing habits over the past couple of weekends. The hits just keep on coming for UCLA, Vince. We talked about Under Armour going back on their deal and trying to end their deal with UCLA back on Monday. And Friday, we're talking about a five-star recruit picking Howard University over the Bruins. McCurr Maker picks Howard over UCLA. I think this is a shocker of shockers, as nobody saw that coming.
He's the highest-ranked player prospect to commit to a historically black college or university since ESPN started doing their rankings in 2007. Not only did Maker pick the Bison over UCLA, but also over Kentucky and Memphis as well.
Yeah, everybody.
Unbelievable.
That is just wild. So congrats to Howard. We'll see if they're able to hang on to the commitment, but that was definitely a shocker, and it's not been a great week for UCLA. I mean, they were very much looking forward to the holiday weekend. Like, just don't answer the phones today. Everything's going to voicemail. There's something going on in the NFL. This is all being reported. I saw it on ESPN.com. A song called Lift Every Voice and Sing is known nationally as the Black National Anthem, and it looks like the NFL is going to play that song before the Star Spangled Banner week one of all the NFL games.
Yeah, I think the key is, and we expected the NFL and probably a lot of other leagues to do some things to show their support for their athletes, and that's really at the top of the priority list for these leagues. So what it was going to be, not sure, but hey, if this is something they've communicated with them, and I'm sure it is, and it's something that the players are all for, then, you know, I'm fine with it. And it won't be the only thing. I'm guessing there's still going to be other things, whether it's video tributes, whether it's going to be something on their gear, something to show where they stand against racism, and then also showing support for what the athletes in their league are going through. So good for them.
They do also have plans, although it's not very clear, but bringing more awareness to the cause of police brutality, kind of like what Colin Kaepernick was doing several years ago. So I don't know what all those details are, but they do want to bring attention to that subject that is now very much on our radar, I guess is how you should say that. So I was unaware that this song existed, but sounds cool. Like, let's see what they do, because I am not about the talk. I want to see some action. You know, the NFL has taken a hard stance on domestic violence, and then when issues pop up, it's funny. These guys get suspended, and then everybody's back cheering for them whenever they're back in the stadium. So we'll see if the NFL really ponies up and puts their money where their mouth is and backs up the talk with actual action. So stay tuned for that this coming football season. In college football, Mike Gundy taking a big-time pay cut there, Vince Ferrara. $1 million per year, and I'm pretty sure this is for the life of his contract that he had just renegotiated.
And he's renegotiated before every time he's flirted with a big school, including Tennessee, a couple of times. So, hey, this he may have been even more motivated to do this after all the criticism he has been in this offseason. So that anything for him to help with his PR might be worth the million to give it back, especially knowing that everything that college athletics is dealing with right now. So, yeah, good for him.
Yeah, Oklahoma State Athletic Director Mike Holder said today, the changes were offered up by Mike Gundy, and I commend him for that. It was his idea to take $1 million pay cut. I think it really demonstrates his commitment to being a better coach. He wanted to make a statement that assured all the players that this wasn't just about talk. This is more about action, and that's the first step. So Mike Gundy taking $1 million a year pay cut, which he had just, like I said, I think he had just gotten that raise very recently. So he's, I guess, going to go back to his budget from a couple of years ago. in the Gundy household.
Poor guy. How do you survive?
How do you keep the lights on, man? And the biggest news of the day, it looks like it is finally going to happen. The Washington Redskins making a formal announcement that they are looking into changing their name. That comes after pressure from corporate sponsors FedEx and Nike. Vince Ferrara, one, does this happen?
Boy, there's more, I think, movement towards it than we've seen before. The issue has come up, the debate has come up before, and the Redskins have been able to avoid it. But when FedEx is able to leverage their position and tell the Redskins they want them to change their name and the dollars that go with that, now you're in a different area of conversation. I think it's moving in that direction. Nike has even pulled the Redskins from their website and their apparel. And so this is really stacking up against Dan Snyder and wanting to stay firm. It'll be incredibly strange to not have that team named the Redskins.
I know.
But it sure looks like with the climate in the world right now that we're headed in that direction.
So are like the Braves and the Seminoles going to get to keep their name? Is it just because it's kind of a slur, like a Redskin? Is that why it's so offensive? I'm sorry. Pardon my ignorance on this. I'm just very unfamiliar with why their name is such a big deal, but like the Cleveland Indians and the Atlanta Braves is not.
I do think there's a different level of
insensitivity. Okay.
Insensitivity, exactly, towards their name versus the others. You really haven't heard about changing anything with any of the Indian background being something that has needed to be changed. And I don't Native American is the word I was looking for. So I think that the Redskins is viewed a little bit different, and those that have a history in knowing that name, I think, are the ones that initially started this movement, and it's certainly grown because we're getting to the point where the insensitivity is not going to be stood for like it used to be.
Barrett Slee from CBS Sports is going to join us at 12:30, and Will Shelton from Game Day on Rocky Top is set to join us at 1:30, and we've got a ton of audio to play for you today. We are getting you ready for the holiday weekend. You're probably off. You're kicking back, cracking open, who knows, maybe an adult beverage because it's 5 o'clock somewhere today, Vince Ferrara. But everybody, hopefully you got your grocery shopping done and you're going to have a great holiday weekend. We'll be here till 3 o'clock with a lot in store for you coming up next on Sports 180.
We're social. Follow, connect, and rub online elbows with the show on Facebook and Twitter at Sports 180. Now back to Josh and Heather.
Washington Redskins are going to be changing their name officially. That's all the scuttle going on right now in the Twitterverse and online. So we'll see what happens. Vince Ferrara kicking around a couple of names. So what do you like for the Washington Redskins' new name?
Well, I've seen a number of suggestions. One that I think seen on social media the most is Washington Warriors. Now, let me start out by saying that some of these names are just first look, haven't dove into, hey, is there insensitivity to certain Native American groups for any of these names? But we'll see. That probably takes a little bit more research. This is just on the surface what sounds good that would be progressive for the Redskins. So Warriors is one. Flows as well. Someone put out...
Wait, what was it?
Washington Warriors.
Oh, okay. I thought you said another one after that.
No, not yet. What I was going to say was that somebody put out a GIF of Steph Curry with, like, his eyes rolled a little bit, like, Warriors? Really?
Yeah.
Already have that in pro sports. Washington Sentinels is another one, and that I've seen a fair amount. And I think what's going to happen is there's a good chance that it will be a name that is reflective of the country. And the theme in Washington of some of the other sports teams' names there, whether it's D.C. United, the Washington Capitals, the Washington Nationals, something along the nationality come together type of theme for the country, that might be where you want to go, considering where you're coming from in the Redskins. So there's others like that, and some that that you know like are just humorous. Like Field Yates from NFL, NFL reporter said it should be the Washington Retrievers, and let Ron Rivera's dog Tahoe, a golden retriever, be the mascot. So people are having fun with it as well, but those are a couple, and there's more out there. What do you like, Heather?
I wrote down a couple of like Washington Supremes or Washington Power. I think that's kind of a generic, kind of cool name that could get some play. How about stealing the XFL team name? I know they would never do this, but the Washington Defenders, DC yep. Defenders, I think that's an awesome name. So I thought the XFL had hit the nail on the head whenever they released that. Woodchucks are native to the DC area, the Washington Woodchucks, if you want some alliteration.
Wow. That's different.
Yeah. Or, I mean, move over, Dewey Warren. You've had your nickname a long time. I think Donald Trump would get behind this one, the Washington Swamp Rats.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah. I think that one's going to be my number one go-to, the Swamp Rats.
New Jersey might be jealous of that. They got plenty of swamp land up there. Another one that I saw, Heather, that's interesting is the Washington Red Tails. And Red Tails is a movie with Cuba Gooding Jr. That was about the Tuskegee Airmen, which is a group of African American U.S. Army Air Forces servicemen in World War II. So again, haven't done more of the history on that name, and but that would be something that is interesting to look into. And another one is the Washington Red Hawks, the University of the Miami University of Ohio.
Miami of Ohio, yeah.
Yeah, has that name too. I don't know if that would preclude them from using something like that. But those are a few. I'm sure there's plenty of others floating around there also. But Defenders, I like that. I don't know if they'll have access to that name at all. But DC Defenders especially has a great name. But I don't think they would do that for the NFL franchise. My expectation is they'll keep it at Washington.
Yeah, that's what I would think too. I'm trying to think of like other things that tie in with just Americana and the country in sort of that vibe. I mean, like the Washington Stars.
Yeah, the USFL team was the Washington Federals.
Okay.
There was the Philadelphia Stars in that Americana name as well.
I know Dallas has a hockey team, so they might not. Isn't it the Dallas Stars?
Yeah, Dallas Stars.
That might just X them off the table. Is Washington D.C. hates everything about Dallas, and Dallas hates everything about D.C. So that might just be totally off.
I wonder if anything from the USFL, whether it be more on the table or less on the table because of Donald Trump's involvement in the USFL. So. I don't know. So long ago, back in the 80s, it was an awesome league. I loved the USFL. But I think something in the Americana theme is what they will try to go to. We'll see how it plays out. But the Redskins are at least right now undergoing, and according to Adam Schefter with the release from the Redskins, that they're undergoing a thorough review of the team's name. So it doesn't mean that they're going to change their name, but there's a lot more push for them to do so. And I don't know that they've come out and said something like that before and issuing a statement that they're reviewing.
They've never done an official review. Yeah, so this does look like there are some legitimate legs to it, and we'll see where it goes. But when your corporate partners, which have major dollars attached to you know, your organization, when they start applying the pressure, that's when you see change actually happen, because money talks and you know what walks.
Exactly.
So we'll see what happens. We'll talk a little college football with Barrett Slee. We also might get his Washington Redskins name update recommendation. He's coming up next from CBS Sports on Sports 180.
Hey, I'm Ball for Life, Bobby Scott, and we're counting it down. It's just
64 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go Hawks!
Fencing Gates Hotline, where Barrett Slee from CBS Sports is waiting to join us. Good afternoon, Barrett. Are you getting all the hot dogs ready to slap on the grill for a 4th of July weekend?
Yeah, we'll be doing that. I actually am going to, not tomorrow, but I think on Sunday, smoke a pork shoulder. So, yeah, I'm excited about the weekend. It's supposed to be pretty decent weather. So, yeah, excited to see family and friends and, yeah, it's hopefully the weather holds off.
What's your one staple for the 4th of July? Like, do you have to get the grill? Are you that guy that just has to get the grill out? Do you have to see fireworks? Like, what's your one staple?
I don't have to see the grill. July 4th is actually my mom's birthday, so usually I have to see her. That's the that's the one thing. But no, fireworks are typically what I do. You know, I'm that dad that is in charge of the fireworks. I self-appointed myself to be that guy, and it seems like it's a lot of work, but it's actually, you know, I enjoy it. I'd take a cooler down to wherever we're shooting them off from and have a good old time.
All right. I like that. Hey, Barrett, talking a little college football, it looks like Navy is the first FBS program to lose a game because of the coronavirus, not because they canceled the game, but because their FCS opponent, I guess the week of September 12th, went ahead and canceled. Is this going to be a domino effect that you're going to start seeing across college football?
Yeah, I think maybe some of those smaller schools, because they just might not be able to field a team, they might start doing that. I think for those schools, the risk-reward is something you have to weigh. You know, is it worth giving up that paycheck in order to save, you know, costs for travel or whatever, not just for your football program, but for your entire athletic department. So I think that's the biggest issue that they're going to have to face now is, you know, what's the risk reward? And so, yeah, I think you'll see some of that. I don't necessarily know how Navy or other schools that have that happen to them, you know, are going to respond or should respond, because it is so close to, you know, the start of the season. We have seen games, you know, reshuffled during the season. I think East Carolina had one last year. So, you know, you can do that, but you have to have a willing dance partner, and it's hard to somehow find that willing dance partner.
There, we saw that the Pac-12 is now specifically with out in the Pac-12, USC specifically looking at the online classes for the most part versus the in-school classes on campus. What kind of impact do you think this could have potentially on USC and the Pac-12?
I think the one sort of factor that I think might pop up from it is the idea that if you let football players do online only, or have football players primarily on campus, either way, then clearly you'd be admitting that this is a financial decision to play football, which we all know it is anyway. But then you'd have a whole bunch of other consequences and a whole other bunch of roads you might have to go down, you know, with you know, name, image, and likeness, and potentially players unionizing and things like that. So I don't think necessarily the decision of USC or UCLA or the Cal State system or whatever has a ton to do with the future of football. I think it, you know, yeah, it's going to impact it a little bit, and yeah, it's going to make some headlines, but you know, in reality, that's just a student body decision. That's a decision that, from the school level, that has to be, you know, delivered to students of all kinds to say, all right, look, you know, you got to start preparing to be on campus, or you got to start finding a way to take online classes, or you got to start finding some residents here in LA. So yeah, I think that it doesn't necessarily directly impact football, because I do think if you do have schools go online only, they'll find a way to make it work. I think that's more of a decision that is relevant to just the general student body.
We're talking to CBS Sports' Barrett Salee. Barrett, Jeremy Pruitt was on the Dan Patrick Show earlier this week and said that Tennessee has not had a positive COVID-19 test for any player at this point in time. They will be retested when they get back to campus after this three-day holiday weekend. I'm not sure what to take away from that. I feel like it's good news on the surface. I don't know how deep you dig into it. But with other places having such big numbers, is it just a matter of time before we hear about those Vols in the news?
Yeah, probably. I don't think there's any way to avoid it completely. And, you know, you're especially this weekend, like you said, players are at home, not just from Tennessee, but all around the country. So, you know, there's a chance they come back and, you know, have all kinds of contact with people who, you know, schools don't even know about. So, yeah, sure. You know, I think it's unavoidable that you're going to have positive tests. We've seen obviously big numbers at LSU and Clemson. We've seen small numbers in a lot of different places, or like at Tennessee, no numbers. So, you know, I just think that the protocols are in place. I think what happens at LSU and Clemson will go a long way toward telling everybody else what the sort of plan is, you know, moving forward. So, I think Tennessee will be in that boat at some point, and you know, where it goes from there, we'll see. I think that finding out if the protocols that are in place are effective is something that we sort of need to figure out now before we go further down that road.
Barrett, are a lot of the positive tests that we're getting, the results that we're getting from this COVID test, are most of them happening in the tests that are being given prior to them coming on campus, or are there situations at schools where the follow-up tests, once they're already in the facility working out, we're seeing those positive tests? Because there's a quite a distinction between those two scenarios, right?
Yeah, there is. I think, you know, initially, obviously, there was a pretty significant number that popped up. So majority of them, yeah, they're in the initial welcome back to campus testing phase. You know, and then the schools do what they can to sort of minimize the impact of that. But, you know, obviously you're going to have, you know, some after effects. And so you've seen the numbers, you know, dwindle a little bit, even at a place like Clemson. They went from, I think, 23 to 17 or 24 one week to 17 the next. So, you know, you've seen, you know, they're trying to take a proactive approach. Everybody's trying to take a proactive approach to prevent it from spreading, you know, throughout an athletic department. But, yeah, most of them are initial, you know, tests. And I think that's important to note, because had they not been, you know, college football players, they'd be walking around wherever they're from or wherever they were symptomatic or asymptomatic, but carriers of COVID. And, you know, being a college football player was able to not only inform them of what needs to be done and give them proper care, but also protect a lot of other people from around the country. From, you know, unwillingly being around players and people who just don't know their carriers of it.
Barrett Salee joining us from CBS Sports. Barrett, Mike Gundy is taking a $1 million pay cut per year. Is this just a damage control move, or how would you label the latest pay cut for his kind of soap opera that he's been living in the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a forced voluntary pay cut, if that makes sense. You know, I think he recognized he needed to do something to get back in the good graces of the administration and the players. And, you know, it's a nice, neat round number, $1 million pay cut. And, you know, it's not necessarily a PR move. I think it's certainly going to put him in the good graces of the administration and the players. And so I think it's not necessarily something that was needed, but I think it shows, you know, that he understands a little bit more about, you know, where his players are coming from and understands that, you know, he's going to have to do better. And, you know, this, as we said before, this is not about no way insured. It's never been about no way insured. It's been about a lingering problem that, like they said last night, is the lack of personal relationships with the players. And we've had a lot of coaches like that over time, most notably Bobby Petrino, who I don't think ever got to see his players except for on the practice field. I'm not saying that, that Gundy is Petrino, but, you know, that kind of thing is it does happen. So, you know, that just shows to me a further proof and another indication that, that he's taking this thing seriously.
Barrett, I think I know the answer to this, but maybe not everyone might have seen you tweet about it. But if the Washington Redskins do change their name, what should they go with, in your opinion?
Oh, it's got to be the Washington Sentinels. I need Shane Falco's uniform. I need Jimmy McGinty on the sidelines. I need all of them. I need the British kicker who smokes inside of his helmet. We need all of that in Washington. So, yeah, if they change their name, I don't think there's any doubt it has to be the Washington Sentinels new uniforms and all. And those uniforms are sharp. You know, it's not like their movie uniforms that are kind of crazy like we saw on Any Given Sunday. I mean, those are sharp, sharp uniforms.
That is hilarious, and I love the Falco reference. Barrett, any update on SEC Media Days? We know that it's not going to be held at its previously scheduled date, but what are you hearing in regards to SEC Media Days, and what do you guys have going on right now at CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ?
Well, I think for Media Days, to me, well, I think what the goal is for the office is to figure out how to not only maximize publicity for the conference, but maximize publicity for the sport, because it feels an obligation to do that, and make it more of a TV event, which it already is. But I think the goal is to wait as long as possible so they know what the season is. And then once they know the exact time frame of the season, then kind of put together a plan, not only with the conference and the schools, but also with other conferences, to say, all right, look, you know, we're all in this together. We know what the schedule is for the season. Let's do all we can to publicize the sport, knowing full well that it's going to be a fall chock full of sports, and it's going to be fighting for a lot of eyeballs. So I would imagine that the later the better is the opinion of the SEC. And, you know, while other conferences have scheduled their times for virtual media days, I'd imagine there still would be some sort of, you know, concerted effort, like an ESPN car wash or something from the other conferences, to sort of all come in this together.
And then tell everybody what you have going on at CBS Sports right now.
Yeah, we have staff picks coming out today on the most undervalued player to make the biggest bounce back. So that'll be fun. Got a lot of commitment stuff happening. There'll be a commitment of the top-rated dual-threat quarterback in the country will happen on CBS Sports HQ tomorrow. So lots of stuff happening there. We've had two other commitments this week. So a lot of recruiting going on HQ.
All right. Well, tell Mom we said happy birthday here in Knoxville. We're sending her a lot of love. And make sure all fingers are intact by the time you're back on the airwaves with us next Friday. Watch those piggies, okay?
I will do my best. I can't promise anything.
All right. That's Barrett Salee from CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Barrett Salee CBS on Twitter. We'll be back with the face-off. It's make or break time, Vince Ferrara. Who won on Monday?
That would be you.
Oh,
and another close one.
Going for the sweep. Here we go. That's coming up next on Sports 180.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
Guys, I'm bringing the party to you.
This is Sports Radio WNML.
Yesterday, we just didn't know that we needed to be talking to him about Washington Redskins' new names. Vince, you went over some of them: the Memorials 300, Monuments 300, Red Tails plus 400, Americans plus 500. That I think that could be like 10,000 plus 10,000. That's not going to happen. Generals, Federals, Veterans, Presidents, Skins. Will West says, these are all very terrible on Twitter.
Yeah, Red Tails is interesting and different, but a lot of the other ones are, you know, Federals is one that we've seen in Washington with football back in the USFL, but the rest, especially veterans and presidents and just skins, monuments, memorials, I mean, really... I'm with Will. I don't think it's a great list overall. There's a couple, two, three that might be in the conversation, but I'm surprised that those are the ones that are highest on the odds list.
So that's what Sportsline has. Who knows what's going to happen, but the Washington Redskins earlier today releasing a statement saying they are doing a formal kind of review of their name and looking into potential future names. So we'll see what happens with that historic franchise that has been very reluctant to even answer questions about changing their name. Now, as public pressure is rising and corporate pressure as well from sponsors and partners, FedEx and even Nike, it looks like the Washington Redskins name could be on its way out. With that being said, it's time for today's face-off.
You want some? Come get
head to head, toe to toe. Let's go one on one with today's face off.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man.
Presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock.
All right, there, Sam Foreman. You're back at the Budweiser Studios today. What have you cooked up for us?
All right, well, as Heather attempts to go almost perfect on the week and win the face-off against both of her co-hosts this week. Something special here to start off with. A little drama-filled question. Should the Houston Texans sign Antonio Brown?
100% yes. This is something that I read on Twitter earlier today and I completely agree with, especially because it seems like Antonio Brown has rehabilitated his persona, his personality, his reputation at this point in time. He stayed out of trouble for an extended period of time. They lost DeAndre Hopkins to an awful trade by Bill O'Brien. Bring in Antonio.
Nope. Should not. Don't touch him. Let him be somebody else's problem. I know they need wide receiver help. That's a reflection on their screw-ups prior to in trading DeAndre Hopkins. You need to find a way to improve that position, but I'm not dealing with that headache. And he hasn't gone that long a period of time without staying out of trouble. It's long for him, not very long. I still wouldn't trust him.
Bill O'Brien couldn't handle the alleged drama with Hopkins. I would love to see how he handles Antonio Brown.
Good point.
Next up, still in the NFL category, what is your pick for the Redskins' new name if they make that change?
You know, this is going to require more research, Heather, and I'm sure we'll have time to do that. But right now, because I'll go with what I think they're going to do, something in that Americana mold, I think it'll be a Washington Federal, something like that. I like yours, so I'm going to leave yours alone to let you jump in there with it. But I'll say Federals.
Okay, Federals. I like that. I'm going to go with the Swamp Rats. Dewey Warren, he has had the nickname for long enough. He needs to share it with our friends to the north. I would love to see the Cowboys versus the Swamp Rats. Just sounds amazing. Trump could be like, drain the Swamp Rats. I don't know. I just feel like there's too much working. I know that that's never going to happen. But give me the Swamp Rats to answer your question.
All right, another question from the NFL here. Between the following quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford, Ben Roethlisberger, and Cam Newton, who has the best shot at being the 2020 Comeback Player of the Year in the NFL?
When you look at these three names, I think Cam Newton is probably going to be the hottest name. Give me Ben Roethlisberger, though, because the Steelers were just a win away from actually making the playoffs last year. So give me the Pittsburgh Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger being the comeback player of the year.
Well, it's not Matthew Stafford because they're still going to be terrible. So that eliminates
him. I know. Bless
him.
His heart. It just sucks.
Cam Newton has the potential to be a breakout player in a really good team, but his health is a concern. I think Big Ben will be out there and better and he still has weapons around him as well, including Juju Smith-Schuster and a pretty good team to improve on. So I think it's Ben Roethlisberger.
All right. In honor of Tom Cruise's 58th birthday, what is the best role he has ever played?
Oh, my goodness. This is such a deep list. You talk about depth that people would want. I'm going to go with Top Gun. I know Jerry Maguire has one of the most famous lines out there, and there's so many other great ones, including Born on the 4th of July, actually.
Yeah. Incredible
Cocktail
movie.
With Elizabeth Shue. I mean, so many amazing roles and many others, but I'm going to go with Top Gun.
Yeah, I think it's Pete Mitchell. I think him playing that role was just what catapulted him to superstardom. The Mission Impossible role that he had and he reprised so many times would also be up there. But give me Pete Mitchell, Maverick, in Top Gun.
All right. Let's end the week with a nice patriotic and festive themed question. What is your go-to 4th of July staple?
For me, it's fireworks. It's not the 4th of July if I'm not watching fireworks. So give me fireworks to answer the question. There's definitely going to be some out here in Louisville tonight. And I think they're still doing Rockin' on the Docks, too, as well. That's what the news had on Monday.
Fireworks is up there, but I'm going to say hot dog, because even if it's just one, I'm not a hot dog eating contest guy, but you find a way to at least get a hold of one just for the weekend. It's known for that, so I'm going to say hot
dog. Can you really eat just one hot dog, though? Hot dogs are like a two minimum for me. Like, if I'm gonna take that deep dive and mess up my workouts for the week, I'm at least eating two, if not three dogs.
This gets into the whole what does Josh Ward put on his hot dogs conversation, because if it's bare, then yeah, you're going to want a second one. But if you load it up good and it's healthy, the Chicago style, you can get by with just one and not overindulge.
Now, Chicago style is brats, really, right? Not hot dogs? What's the judge's ruling there?
Well, Chicago's got what? The pickle spear and the tomato and everything on it, right?
Okay.
I think it's technically a beef hot dog.
Okay.
But there is a, I don't know if it's called a Chicago dog, but there is something Chicago related that is a bratwurst, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, Sam, is with the pickles and really dressed up pretty nice sauerkraut.
Thank you, Smoky Stadium, for that info.
There you go.
All right, Sam, who's the winner today?
All right. Well, this was another close one, but got to go with the explosiveness of Heather's final answer. Heather gets a win.
Oh, you see what he did there? Dad joked. I honestly thought Vince had won it with the hot dogs, because Sam is a man who loves his food.
Hey, that is true, and I will say one of the most unfortunate things, in my opinion, and this is very lighthearted because this is an incredibly serious situation we're in as a country. The fact that the hot dog contest here at WNML is not happening this year, because I was going to totally dominate those fools on the morning show.
Wow.
Let the trash talk for next year begin right now.
There you go.
So I would have taken them out. So the hot dogs almost did. But growing up as a kid, I was all about the fireworks. And as our 4th of July has shrunk, so is the fireworks. And living next to Smokies Park, I'm going to hear them anyways. So all about the fireworks.
Yeah, love the fireworks. Hot dogs, I'm a mustard, ketchup, and cheese person. That's what I want on my hot dog. I don't want relish. I don't want chili, onions, nothing like that. Just mustard, ketchup, and cheese. Also, I didn't know this. We were talking about best burger chains yesterday with the news of Whataburger coming to the state of Tennessee. Vince Ferrara, did you know that people are like super against putting mayo on burgers?
I did not know that. That's crazy to me.
Yeah. Mayo is the first thing I put on. I put on mayo, I put on a squirt of mustard, like a swirl of mustard, and a swirl of ketchup.
It's not an absolute, but it's also fairly normal and common. So, no, yeah. I don't get the outrage of that.
Yeah, it was just so weird. I saw a lot of scuttle on Twitter. I was just like, what are y'all talking about? You don't put mayo on your burgers? Like, how do you eat it? It's so dry. Can't do just ketchup. That's going to wrap it up for hour number one today. Hour number two, we'll talk to Will Shelton on game day on Rocky Top. We got some great audio, and we've got some breaking news in college football as some people are tweeting about another shutdown of voluntary workouts. We'll give you all the information coming up next on Sports 180.